Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
Thank you, worship team. That was very sensitive, and I just sensed the Lord was ministering to us through those words. I don't know if you really just sense God's presence as we minister to him. Today we've come to worship the Lord and to give thanks to him as we remember what he did for us nearly 2,000 years on a cross. I'd like to pray before we be encouraged through God's word. Lord Jesus, we have come this morning to worship you. We've come to bring thanks and praise to you. In our hearts, we are so grateful for all that you've done for us. And we come to remember the great sacrifice that you made to obtain our salvation, to obtain our forgiveness from sins through the shedding of your blood, and to place us into your new covenant that you've made with us, that we could have eternal life. And Lord, we look to you today and we say thank you again. We were lost and we've been found. You sought us and you've brought us into your kingdom. And we are so grateful, Lord. That's why we gather here today, to honor you, to glorify you, to praise you. Father, thank you for sending your Son. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for orchestrating that life eternal could come to us and that we can find it in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So will you encourage us this morning as we remember you, as we glorify you and honor you now, in the name of Jesus. The title of my message today is Crucifixion, Death, and we find that the symbolism of the cross has become so symbolic of Christianity, but I want to just say the power of the cross is what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And I think it's good when we have crosses and we have a cross in the life of the church, but maybe may it not be something of idolatry, but may it be something of a symbolism of knowing what God is actually doing and has done in our life. And we'll see the symbolism right through Scripture is that it brings us to a place of remembrance of what Jesus did for us. The Romans invented the cross. It wasn't something that it was something that was beautiful. It was meant to bring torture. It was meant to bring one of the cruelest deaths you can ever experience. It wasn't something nice. It's one of the most ugly things that ever take place. It was not to bring a quick death. It was not an execution. It was to be prolonged, and it was to bring pain. And that's what Jesus went to the cross for. It was invented to be evil. And Jesus took that evil upon him and died for us and took our sin for us. He took the curse, God's curse. He took God's wrath. He took his punishment for us that we can have eternal life. So this morning we have come to recognize what Jesus has done for us. That's a very important thing individually that we need to know. And also in that, as we come to recognize what he done for us, why he died was for the simple thing, because he loved us and because of sin. And I think that's important when you recognize the work, that there's got to be a repentance, is a sense of where sin is in our lives, because sin separates us from God and we need to repent and we need to change and we're going to be going through a process later of breaking bread. But remember, we cannot come to the table of the Lord with sin in our hearts. We need to take hold of what Jesus has done for us and trust him to have cleansed us from all unrighteousness, and then to come to a place of remembrance today. Today and this weekend, I know it's a public holiday and the world is on holiday, but the reality, we are on a place of remembering what Jesus has done for us. And I'm asking you as families to take time to pray in your meal times. Please remember the Lord. It's not just Good Friday and it's another holiday. It's a time to remember Jesus. And may it be a holy, precious time in your families. It's not a religious thing, but if you just set time aside to actually remember what the Lord has done for you. And while preparing, I just really just sense is that I'm not going to preach, but I'm going to read scripture to you today. I'm going to allow the Word of God to actually speak to you of what actually took place on that time nearly 2,000 years ago. And I'd like you to maybe get out your Bibles, or you can read on the screen or in your phones where you got your Bibles. And I'm going to be reading quite a lot of scripture, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will actually speak to you as I read the scripture. So we start with Luke chapter 19, and we read from verses 28 to 48. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you'll find a colt tied, and on which one has never yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you'll say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent away and found it just as he had told them, and they were untying the colt, the owners said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As they rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road, and as they were drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, and saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.' And when he drew near and he saw the city, he wept over it, saying, 'What that you, even you, had known on this day the things that made for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when the enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, and you and your children within. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation.'" Profound, the time of your visitation. "And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, 'It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made a den of robbers. And as he was teaching daily in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words." I read from Luke chapter 22, verses 1 to 23. "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover," and I've just got the date of that in the Hebrew calendar. That was 3 Nisan, 373, and today is 15 Nisan, 582. That's 1,989 years ago. "And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put him to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, who was one of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the crowd. Then there came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb, Jesus, which is the Passover lamb of God, had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it.' They said to him, 'Where will we have us prepare it?' And he said to them, 'Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, "The teacher says to you, Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there. And they went and found just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this, divide it among yourselves, and I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, and saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after he had eaten, saying, this cup is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table, for the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another, which one of them could be who is going to do this? Luke 22, verse 37, for I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled, and he was numbered with his transgressors, for it is written about me has its fulfillment. And then Luke 22, verse 39 to 53. And he came out and went, and as was his custom on the Mount of Olives, the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew with them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. There appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and a man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him, and Jesus said to him, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? And when those who were around him saw that would follow, they said, Lord, shall we strike with a sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, no more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and the elders who came out against him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then I read from Luke 22, verse 63 to 71. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, prophesy, who is it that struck you? And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. And when the day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both the chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council and they said, if you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God. So they all said, you are the Son of God then. And he said to them, you say that I am. Then they said, what further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips. Then Luke 23, verses 1 to 56. Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, we have found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to tribute Caesar, and saying that himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, are you king of the Jews? He answered him, you have said so. Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, I find no guilt in this man. But they were urgent, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place. When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he had learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him, and Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then arraying him with splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been in enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is misleading the people, and after examining before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Looking, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man! Release to us Barabbas, a man who has been thrown into prison for insurrection, started in the city for murder." Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept on shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted, and he released the man whom he had thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they had asked. But he delivered Jesus over to their will. As they led him away, they seized one, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, the breasts that have never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away and put to death with him. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots for his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He has saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him some sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who railed at him and saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God? So you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we have received due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember when you come to your kingdom." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said that, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that assembled for the spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council and of a good and righteous man who had not consented to the decision and action. He was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The woman had come with him from Galilee, followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. Jesus died and was buried. And I'd just like us to take a time just to contemplate what our Lord did for us. How he was mocked, he was beaten, and never mind, he took on the wrath of God and the sin of the world. He went to that cross, not deserving death. And as we just contemplate our hearts, and we're going to be breaking bread together, and as we do that, I'm just really just trusting God to just encourage every one of us as we declare our love for him and what he paid, the price he paid for us. Let's just take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to us at this time. For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. And I'd just like to do that before we come to remember our Lord in his body and his blood shed for us. Let's examine ourselves. Let's examine ourselves with gratitude. Let's examine ourselves where we have maybe fallen short, where we may be guilty of sin. Let's come to the table and asking Jesus to forgive us, and then to take hold of that and to remember Jesus, our wonderful Lord and Savior, for what he's done for us. So Lord, as we examine our hearts, we examine our lives, the scripture declares, Lord, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet, Lord, we have called upon your name and you have forgiven us. But yet, Lord, as we walk life, there are times where we carry ourselves, where we are displeasing to you, where we fall short of the authority and the mark of your word. We come with humble hearts before you this morning, Lord. Every one of us, Lord, and those online. And Lord, we bring ourselves before you and we say, Lord, please forgive us. Forgive us for our wrongdoing. Forgive us for purposely doing things, for not purposely doing things. Lord, we come in humility before you. We recognize, Lord, you need to wash and you need to cleanse us. So we ask, Lord, before we share at your table, Will you cleanse every one of us and wash every one of us as we confess our wrongdoing and our sin? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That, Lord, as we come to your table, we stand in your righteousness. We stand in the finished work of what you accomplished on the cross. Thank you, Lord. Just, Fark, I just really just sense to encourage you the power of the cleansing of the blood of Jesus is so powerful. The stain of sin, the stain of the world, the stain of unrighteousness, nothing in the world can remove that. No washing, no works. But when we call upon his name and his blood comes, there's a cleansing and there's a washing. And I just sense in some of our hearts today that there's issues of guilt and shame. There's stains of the past that have been ingrained that you can never get out and you've tried to deal with. And God just wants to cleanse those. It's a supernatural work. He's here this morning. Not only did he die on a cross nearly 2,000 years ago, he's working today. And his blood is still working. And Lord, I just speak with the authority of the blood, your living blood, that brought atonement, that brought life, that brings the washing away of unholiness. I just speak the blood of Jesus over your people now, Lord. A cleansing and a washing. Yeah, I can just sense it now. Just some of you have been heavy with those things. There's a washing right now that only God can do. No surgeon can do. No man can do. Only the living God can do that through the blood of Jesus. Lord, we just even break the authority of Satan, where he's grained a stronghold over anyone here today. Through whatever we've done, through what we've watched, what we've heard, what we've spoken, we break the authority of Satan over your people now. In Jesus' name. We break the power of any curse, the finished work of the cross. We break any curse, any generational curse, any curse by the words that we have spoken, any curses that have been inflicted upon us by someone declaring something, we break that authority now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In fact, there's a washing here, there's a cleansing. I can just really just sense this is a holy moment. The Lord's doing something. It's not just the cross, but he's doing something in our lives. As we've come before him, Jesus is working. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your grace now, that it's nothing that we've done. You've done it. It's your favor, your love for us. And thank you, Lord, that through the cross and through your blood, you've established us in holiness. We're a chosen people, holy and pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord. My children, I went to the cross at the will of our Father. It was a very difficult day for me, but I willingly went to that cross for you. I understood the pain. I understood the punishment. I understood what I had to endure for you. But I did it for you because I love you. And today, as you've called upon my name, as you have honored me, and as you have glorified me, I have washed you and I have cleansed you. You are my children. You are my body. You belong to me. You are my people. You are my own. And that was the price of the cross, that you would belong to me forever. You are my beloved. You are my chosen ones. I've set you apart as precious. I've set you apart as my people. I've set you apart as my sons and daughters. I willingly went to that cross for you. And I ask you, as you remember me, rejoice. Rejoice that I went and took that pain for you. I want you to be glad that I took your suffering. I want you to be glad that I took your sin. I want you to rejoice because that was my love for you. I want you to know today that I loved you and I love you. You're my own. You belong to me. You belong to me. Lord, thank you. We see you. We say thank you to you. And Lord, we pray that this day, as we come to your table, we come cleansed of all unrighteousness, we come holy before you, we come celebrating your goodness, we come celebrating your grace and your mercy. We pray, Lord, as we commit ourselves to you, that we would truly rejoice in your great sacrifice today. Thank you for this very special time that we can remember you, we can honor you, we can glorify you, we can bring praise to your name. As much as we stand together, we individually, and I talk on behalf of your people, Lord, we say thank you again. Thank you. And Lord, even though this is marked in time, we will know, we will look back and recognize eternity because of your finished work on the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's come to the Lord's table and let's take of the elements and we'll break it together as we remember our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a table there and there's a table here. Let's share. We're going to be sharing it together. So thank you.
While you were praying, breaking the ties, rope's been broken, bondage has been broken. Power of God is coming to people.
It's shared, and then come and share afterwards. So, everyone is welcome to the Lord's table. Everyone. But when you take of these elements, don't mess with these elements. Because you need to have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You can only partake of him if you believe upon him. And maybe this is your day, you've never believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you share in the Lord's table, you're recommitting or reaffirming your love for him and your faith in him as Lord and Savior. And this is the words of Jesus. As he took the bread, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember Jesus. And he took the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Remember the new covenant you're in with Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can we stand and hold hands? Okay, it's fine. Lord, you died alone. But Lord, as you look today, that table you shared with 12 of your disciples, and all of us here this morning and throughout the earth, we are celebrating your finished work, the fruitfulness of your sacrifice and your love, your giving yourself for us, the atonement for our sins. As we stand as your body before you, the living body of Christ here on earth, we want to say thank you that you're our head now and that we are your body, and that thank you that you've given us through your death, you've given us eternal life. So as your people gathered here in your name, Lord, we want to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And may we never lose our gratefulness to you, Lord. As you say, take up your cross and follow me. It's to be thankful, Lord. It's not something we have to do. It's just to be say thank you. That's your grace and that's your love. And Lord, as we go into today, may your presence be so real with us as we gather as families or individuals. May this weekend be a holy weekend, Lord, as time set aside to remember you. Help us not to get too busy with our affairs, and even if we do get busy in the cooking and the fixing and all things we're doing, may we remember you. And Tina just had an impression from the Lord is that as we've come before the Lord, he's broken bondages, chains have been broken over people's lives. Here this morning, there's a lightness, there's an easiness that God has brought. And not only has he broken those things, he's clothed us again. He's clothed us in Christ. He's put his cloak on us, and we are found in Christ. And I just want you to know the assurance, if you've believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you belong to him. You are his beloved. Leave today knowing that what the finished work of the cross has placed you in his family, you are his, and he is yours. God bless you. Go have a great day remembering Jesus.